Now we have the part where I will talk about reverse image search. So first, again, a poll. So the question is it possible to do a web search using images and not only words? Okay, yeah, most of you answered correctly, and most of you answered the question. So I'll just close up the poll. And yeah, most of you, as I said, were correct. You can do a web search using images. As my colleague before explained, there is some kind of pictures, for example, some information that will not be searchable on the internet. So you'll need to use OCR. So basically, that's just a screenshot of your text. If that hasn't been published anywhere, so you won't be able to find anything about it. Just similar type of images. But for example, for car thefts, it can be really useful to use images of a vehicle to search for the internet, for example, for listings on some, let's say, American Craigslist, as they call it, or Auto Scout for Europe, and so on. So these images, these kind of images, can be really useful for investigating. So reverse image search is done by the search engine technology that's called content-based image retrieval, CBIR in short. So this search engine technology can query image files as a normal search entry, so as text search, and it returns information that are related to the image. So reverse image search can be used to, for example, locate the source of an image, so where it was first posted, who posted it first, so get an author, find a better resolution image, video, discover web pages that someone posted the image, or where the image was comes from, get basically the information also about the image, if the image contains some EXIF data, which I'll explain later. We have and so on. There are a lot of useful information that an image can contain, and how it can be used during an investigation. So reverse image searching can be done using Google or TinEye. These are some web engines. So basically, Google search engine and TinEye search engine. Also, websites that provide reverse image searching are Reddit. You can use an image to search through the chat contents of trying to find the same or similar picture on the website. And also one of the websites that enables us to do reverse image searches is Karma Decay. So now I'll just show you how to use reverse image searching on Google and some other tools that can be used for reverse image searching. So I'll just share my screen. Give me a second. Yeah, okay, so great. So basically, what I've done here, I just, for example, I found the image of a car during a car theft case and something like similar to this. I found the image that was on someone's hard drive. I went just to Google, selected images, so basically the image search, and pasted, drag and dropped the image to Google, and basically got the results. So information about the image, websites, for example, where it was listed, how much was it sold for, So we can find some seller information, so his username and so on, or contact the website provider or the admins to get information about who sold the car, who listed the car, and also some similar sites that have any information about this car, specifically about the car in this image. So it also gives us the search term that Google used for his search query. So basically, it used the similar name from the search similar search term from the name of the picture. We can also use, as I said, TINEye. It works in the same way. We can just drag and drop the images that we need to look for on the internet, and we get the results. So in this case, most of the time the TINEye is similar to Google, but in this case Google had more results. So basically here is just one result that TINEye found while searching the internet. And also one additional useful tool that can be used is basically a reverse image search add-on, which you can see here. So reverse image search add-on that can be installed on any of your browsers, and if you find, for example, if you upload an image to Google like I did now, you can then just for example click on the add-on, select how you want to search which engine for reverse image search you want to use, and press it, and then just select the image. So this makes it really, really easy for anybody to search for the specific picture using on the internet. So here is, for example, I use now Yandex, which is a Russian search engine, and also got similar results like Google search engine. So, as I said, EXIF or Exchangeable Image File Format is a standard that specifies the format for interchange information of images that's used by JPEG compression. So basically it stores information about the device that was used to take the picture or some information regarding the, let's say, location of where the image or the picture was taken from. So for example, EXIF can store a lot of information such as shutter speed, exposure, compression that is used on the image, some metering system that was used, so feet, meters, kilometers, so on. We can also see if the flash was used while the image was taken, the ISO number for the filters, so just seen while taking the image, date and time when the image was taken, GPS information, so for example the exact location or the street name where the image was taken. So these EXIF information can be really important. Nowadays most of the online services strip EXIF information. For example, I try to upload the image to Google Drive from my mobile phone, and download it to my computer for this presentation, and it stripped all the EXIF data and couldn't get as much information as I would want to from the image. So basically, I need to use Bluetooth to directly transfer the image to store to remain the EXIF data on the image. So basically, for this next example, I'm going to use or show you how to use Pick2Map, which is a website that will give information, all the EXIF information about some picture that you, for example, found on a suspect computer or a hard drive. So you can check or create an alibi or something, create a timeline using pictures, just by proving that, let's say, the suspect might was on the place and at the specific date and time where the picture was taken, but you won't be you can't be certain if there are more people using the device or have access to the device and can create pictures or take pictures. So that's one concern. So this is Pick2Map. I'll just again. I don't know how much time I have. Basically, this is the website that I uploaded my picture to. Works the same as TinEye or Google. Just drag and drop it, or browse through your files, or through the files that you have from someone. You can upload it, and it will read out all the information about the pictures, and also will give a specific location. So it will have a location that the picture was taken at pinpointed, like you can see here in the picture. So these are basically the information that can be found from that picture. So it says that the brand of camera that was used, basically the photo chip, it was a Samsung photo chip. You get the model of the phone or the smartphone that was used to take the picture with. Some information about the lens, ISO, if the flash was used, file information like the name of the file, extension. How many megapixels was it taken with, so was the resolution of the image, also the exact date and time when the picture was taken, the time zone, depending on your device that you're taking pictures with, the information can differ, but in this case we get a lot of information for the date. Date and time. Also, we can see the coordinates, GPS information, latitude, longitude. Also, in some cases, altitude. How far, how high up was the suspect? Let's say, or the person who took the picture. And also, we'll get the address if it was stored correctly, so basically the city where it was done in the country information. So this is also a really useful tool. It has a good graphic interface, and it's user-friendly, so it's really easy to use. Also, EXIF Info, the same kind of website, but just does not have a real pretty user interface, but gives the investigator or the data that that is needed to be found, for example, a location of a picture. So during the next part of the presentation, I'll show you how to retrieve an offline.
Daniel, just do you think you can make it 5 minutes?
I'll try. Sorry.
Thanks.
I'll speed it up. So one of the tools that we can use is OCERT. So this is basically a software done for Windows. As my colleague previously said, you can use it to video everything that you're doing while investigating the website or taking screenshots. You can even save attachments and so on. Also, to review all the offline web pages, we can use Wayback Machine, so basically a website, which is an archive that's created of website snapshots taken in some specific time. For example, if a website was updated, there are some changes occurred, and this this website can also be accessed through OSIRT browser that I just showed you. So this is the how the website looks like. Nothing special. Type in the URL of the website and pick a certain date that you require. So also analyzing web pages can be done using Foca add-on, which from the browser, IP address and domain information add-on, and Fireshot. So I'll just quickly go through them. I'll share my screen so you have an idea how to use them. Okay, so I opened just the BBC home page, and Foca can be used to gather all the documents that are stored on some domain. So some documents that weren't removed from a domain, you can set up the documents that you want to search, Word documents, PDFs, Excel, and so on. So basically, it finds all the documents that are stored on some domain, and you can download them all, export them, and review them later. Also, we have, as I said, the IP search. So it uses DNS analytics, so we can see the IP of some websites, name of the service provider, and so on, some specific location of the server, nothing certain, and some other information about the domain, and also the service provider that hosts the web page. Basically, it's Fastly from the US that hosts the BBC website, and some information about it. And then also we have the Fireshot. So as my colleague previously explained, it's better to have a video of a web page while analyzing it or while acquiring data from it, but we can use Fireshot. So for example, we can capture the entire page, so everything that's stored on it, it will scroll to the end of the page, and we can export it as a PDF, as an image, JPEG, or send it to email, and so on. So these are some useful tools that you can use, and everybody can use if investigating something. Also, physical and logical data acquisition. So basically, all the evidence we need to acquire all the evidence during the forensic investigations from any type of media. So we have different tools, so from software tools, commercial tools, or hardware, for example, write blockers which enable us not to change anything. So don't allow us to write anything and compromise evidence. Also, validation is always necessary using hash functions to prove that that you haven't compromised any data and these are the same information or the same file that was on the suspect's disk. As I said, acquisition software, a lot of them. We have some commercial acquisition software, open source software, and so on. Also, mounting some images can be possible to get additional data or to get just an view, like in file browser in Windows, how the data looks like, and we can analyze the data that way. So go through them by hand. Also, sterile media basically means that all the memories or all the hard drives that we as investigators use to acquire data must be sterilized, must be clear in order to prevent any previous data that were stored on them to show up in a different, totally different case and creating a confusion. So this is done by wiping it, just by using some specific method algorithm that rewrites every byte with zeros on the whole hard drive. Also, physical image. We have physical image and logical image. Basically, the main difference between these two is that the physical image is an exact copy of all the space from bit to bit on a hard drive. So it copies everything and stores it on a different memory, so a disk that investigator used. And the logical image basically stores only the files that are allocated. So only the allocated space, the files that the user usually can see through the Windows interface or the file explorer. And now to the cloud. So cloud, basically the cloud forensic is application of digital forensic scene science in cloud environment. Again, a quick poll. Just to finish off the presentation. Okay, I will just cut it short here for now. Sorry. So, as you can see, most of you told that it's false, which is basically, let's say, it's correct if you. If you're dealing with clouds that you don't have, cloud servers or cloud providers that you don't have access to. So basically, if you can arrange with a service provider that has a cloud service to gain access to the server that stores all the user files, then it's similar, but not the same as the regular computer forensics case. But in other cases, for example, Google, acquiring Google Cloud data, you won't be able to do it. It's totally different, and a lot of laws, different laws, need to be obeyed or adhered to while doing this kind of investigation. So, as I said, traditional versus cloud forensics, so identification of potential evidence isn't just going to a crime scene or looking around trying to get all the hard drives, finding hard drive, finding documents, finding passwords that are on some sticky notes on the monitor and so on. Basically, you don't know how everything is set up by some provider, and you need to virtualize or visualize some the network that's used for storing the data. Also, acquisition, it's not always possible to have a physical access to the, for example, server. And with that, we don't know what the service provider is doing. Are they willing to give up the data of a user? Will they change the data during the acquisition process that they are doing? Are they knowledgeable enough? And basically, the files, we need to make sure it's not auditable. So investigations on dynamic system can be frozen. For example, if you have a huge database, you can just stop it. It will make for a huge financial loss. And that's not good. And if we're doing an investigation on a dynamic system, we need to document everything and explain everything on our reports in order to make it valid in court. And also, time drift can occur. This is basically the difference of virtual machines on some servers and real time real time in the real world. As I said, cloud forensics is difficult because it's basically a multidimensional issue, so multidimensional process, because we need to know a remote forensics, live forensics, virtual acquisition, so we can't just go there, take the computer and image everything and acquire the data. And also we need to know how to perform network forensics. So these are some problems, some dimensions that need to be known while doing some cloud forensics. Also data sources, all kinds of data sources from web browsers, as I said, all, open source intelligence, social networks, emails, forums such as Reddit, file sharing network and cloud, some chats and so on. The internet is full of data sources. Also huge problem is, as I said, physical inaccessibility. Evidence can be spread all over the world. For example, Facebook, you can't just go to Facebook and say, yeah, I want today, I think all the data is stored, for example, in Croatia for some user. I want all the data about him from the server, and you get a warrant, and then you end up with having just some few information or even nothing because the data was stored somewhere in the US and so on. So this can be a huge problem. Also, logs are decentralized, and you don't always know what's happening with the information that are stored on the cloud. As I said, acquisition, gathering data. You don't know how the service provider has done it. Has he changed something? Has he manipulated the information, the data, and so on? Also, the problem can be because it's now storage space is real cheap. We have big disks, easy to deploy, easy to deploy on a system, on a server, and the acquisition process will take a long time because it's dependent on the bandwidth of the internet, and it can create problems with cases that are time critical. So a lot of information can be required to analyze. Also, evidence from social networks, as my colleague previously said, it's really really hard to investigate them. Things or statuses, chats, or comments can be changed in just a few clicks. Everything you can't believe everything that is said there. They have a lot of information, all kinds of files like multimedia files, so it can contain images, videos, text, comments, location, coordinates, and all kinds of information. And also deep link content is also a huge problem, so because in the comments we can have some link shorteners or links, use links that are shortened by link shorteners, and send the users to some other malicious site or something else. Also, information credibility isn't that good, so we don't have, we can't believe everything we see on social networks, everybody can copy it and change it, as my colleague previously shown it to you with one article that he manipulated. Also, the chain of custody is a huge problem with these kinds of cloud forensic cases. Because we don't know if the inter-service provider that acquired the data for us has heard or has followed the chain of custody, has documented anything. So we basically don't know where the data was before it came to our office before we got the data from them. So this is also a huge problem. Also, cross-border law, I won't go into that too much. As I said, you know more than I do about this kind of stuff. So we have problems with multi-jurisdictional issues, also multi-tenancy. As I said, servers all around the world with Facebook, Google, and so on. Data centers also located all around the world. And all kinds of jurisdictions that we need to ask from them to allow us to acquire data, which is really hard and, as it says here, a gray area of the law. Also, trustworthy data retention. We don't always know if the data from the service provider is retained or is it. Is it deleted or is it retained after they say it's deleted? So we don't never know what's happening with the data from the side of the service provider and how do they use the data or information for their themselves. So final step is of digital investigation of the cloud is. Proving evidence from a complex structure of cloud, which I said is not easy. We don't have the chain of custody or any kind of normal procedures, so it can be really difficult for the investigators. Also, we have jurisdiction issues, lack of international collaboration, investigating external chain dependencies on some cloud provider is also really hard, lack of law regulations, and so on. And the solutions, basically international cooperation, global unity, 24/7 network with basically a platform that supports the investigation all over the world. Interdepartmental support, also working as a team, the whole department or the whole police office, and also constantly educating investigators to how to seize, acquire, and process storage from cloud, and constantly educating them about the laws.